This is a message for members of Thrivent Financial for Lutherans. Thrivent Financial has a new charitable grant program called Thrivent Choice. Thrivent Choice allows you to designate charitable outreach funds to Lutheran Public Radio. For more information, look for the Thrivent logo under the Donate page of our website, issuesetc.org, or ask your Thrivent representative about Thrivent Choice. Help support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. with Thrivent Choice.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. It's Monday afternoon, August the 22nd. We got a sermon review ahead for the last half hour of the program. Pastor Matt Harrison preached at the 25th anniversary of the ordination of Pastor Will Whedon. Both of those names should sound familiar because they're both regular guests here on Issues Etc. And this was preached at St. Paul Lutheran Church in Hemel, Illinois, just yesterday. Now, this is a great example for testing our sermon diagnostic. We had one of our callers to the comment line earlier today bring up this passage from John chapter 5:39, where Jesus says, "You search the Scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life, and it is they that bear witness to me." Now, this sets the bar for Christian preaching and proclamation precisely where it ought to be, and that is to find from Scripture, to draw from Scripture the testimony, the witness about Jesus Christ specifically. And if it were only that passage, that would be enough to guide us as preachers and hearers. But it isn't only that passage. It is all over the New Testament that Christ is the center of Scripture. He's the sum and substance of Old and New Testament. And therefore, our biblical proclamation as the church, regardless of time and place, ought to be centered upon Christ and his saving work for us. Luke chapter 24, right there at the end, Jesus says, "Thus it is written," now he points us first to Scripture, to the text, "thus it is written that Christ should suffer and on the third day rise again, and that repentance and the forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem." If you want marching orders for preachers every Sunday, every sermon, that is it. That's why we have our three-part sermon diagnostic whenever we review any sermons, good, bad, or ugly. Starts out with Jesus. How often is Jesus mentioned? You sit, you listen, you keep a simple running tally of how often specifically Jesus is mentioned. Not generic references to the deity, not the big man upstairs, not him who will not be named, but how often Jesus himself is mentioned by any of the ways that Jesus can be mentioned, the Christ, our Lord Jesus Christ, Jesus, Savior. There's lots of ways, lots of words that your pastor can use. It would seem he would just, if he wants to preach Christ, he could constantly stumble upon ways to mention Jesus in a sermon, but you keep track of how often he is mentioning Jesus. Now, if he is mentioned, then go on to part two. Is Jesus the subject of the verbs? That is Jesus doing the verbs? Is he doing the doing? Is he the one in the sentence, grammatically, who is actually, you're being told about what he has done, is doing, will do? Because there's a big difference between talking about Jesus as somewhere off in the distance of the sentence, who isn't really key to the action, what you do for Jesus and what Jesus does for you. They're two completely different things. And if Jesus is mentioned and he is the subject of the verbs, what are the verbs? Is this the Jesus of pop psychology, pop Christianity, self-help, motivational, inspirational, get you up on your feet, coach you through life, root for you when you're out there on the field doing it all for yourself? Or is this the Jesus who does it all for you? A perfect life lived, laid down in perfect obedience to God, perfectly keeping the law in your stead, in your place, and according to that same law, suffering the punishment that you and I deserved at the cross, shedding his blood, breathing his last, and rising again, all for you. Is Jesus mentioned? Is he a subject of the verbs? And what are those verbs? Is it the helper, friend, good buddy, give you a hug or a back rub, Jesus? Or is it the beaten, bloodied, killed, and raised Jesus for your salvation? So here's the sermon preached yesterday by Pastor Matt Harrison, president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, who appeared surprise in the pulpit, at least to Pastor Will Whedon, who celebrates his 25th anniversary of his ordination.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Well, it's somewhat interesting to me that this text, this gospel lesson of the unrighteous manager, should be the text for the celebration of Pastor Whedon's 25 years in office. But I learned this morning some things people keep from me. I'm here on this Sunday because of problems with my schedule, not because of your choice. But on second thought, it really is a pretty good text. We're in the dry season. Last spring, I thought, my yard looks wonderful. It looks better than it ever had in 10 years in St. Louis, despite all of my efforts. God had turned it wonderfully green in 2 months and did more than I could have possibly done in 10 years. Well, now, just a few months later, it's full of crabgrass and looking pretty rough, looking not unlike the fields of corn that are severely dry on the way just out of Hamel on the road up here. We're in the dry season of the church year, too. Oh, there have been a few festivals this August, including the festival for the Mother of Our Lord, but be honest, we Lutherans don't pay much attention to festivals, certainly not in August, and they're minor festivals. We're in the dry time. It's like Johannes Kepler, the first astrophysicist, a faithful Lutheran, who determined that the planets move in ellipses. So right now in the church here, we're at the far, far end of the ellipse, just about ready to be flung back in toward the festival season again. St. Michael and all angels coming at the end of September, thank God. These texts today are all about being out in the wilderness. David had made it through war with the Philistines. The text says he sang his song in our text. He sang his song after that war had been settled. He sang it another time, the text said, after Saul had ceased to pursue him. God is my shield way out in the wilderness. 1 Corinthians, St. Paul talks about the people of God wandering in the wilderness and falling prey to idolatry, and 23,000 of them falling in a single day, despite the fact that the rock which was Christ followed them and gave them to drink. And then this weird gospel lesson. Make friends for yourselves by means of unrighteous wealth, so that when it fails, they may receive you into the eternal dwellings. Luther states on this verse, just as when a flirt draws the whole world after her, and I say, she's a clever flirt, she knows her business. The unrighteous manager knew his business. He knew his master was merciful, and he knew his business. What is our business? What is your pastor's business? Jesus. Why do we celebrate Pastor Whedon today? Jesus. How shall this congregation not only survive, but thrive right now in the wilderness? Jesus. How shall you live as a sinner midst your family and your community of sinners and all the kind of things that go on in this world today? How shall you live? Jesus. The whole point of today's text is Jesus. Every verse of the Bible is Jesus. Every chapter of the Bible is Jesus. They are they which testify of me, Jesus said of the Old Testament. Every word of law, every damning exclamation is given to you for a purpose, to damn you to death, to kill you, to crucify you, and drive you to Jesus. Jesus. So that you can count all things as dung next to the surpassing greatness of knowing Jesus Christ and not having a righteousness of your own that comes from the law. You shall have no other gods before me. We should fear, love, and trust in God above all things. And yet we fear, love, and trust in anything else. We fear 99.9% of the time, and it never happens. And yet we're filled with worry and anxiety, as though God had given us no promises that he is our dear father, won't give us too much to bear, will provide a way out when we are tempted. You love what is not God, and you want it. Your God is your gold, your land, your power. You harbor dark thoughts. God says to you, the soul that sins shall surely die. Where shall we turn? Jesus. Jesus kept it all for us. Jesus died it all to death, put to death for your transgressions. You misuse the name of God. You are baptized. You are called a Christian, a little Christ. You drag Christ's name through everything you say and do. We are to pray, praise, and give thanks, and yet so often we curse, condemn, and whine.
We'll take a break right in the middle of the law being preached there by Pastor Matt Harrison, president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. We talked to him recently, and he was talking about preaching being a finger-pointing business, that the you has to come out, the you that sins and the you that has been saved by Jesus Christ. It has to be for you, or it's not preaching Christ in his saving work. I think we're hearing that happen. It's a great example. I can do nothing better than, as soon as we get back from this break, go right back to the sermon and let him say it better than we could ever say it ourselves, that it is this law that condemns us. And he's quite right. This text, every text about Jesus, all of the scriptures, whether law or gospel, there either to drive us to Christ or to show us Christ, laying down his life for us at the cross. More from this sermon, preached at the 25th anniversary of Pastor Will Wheaton's ordination to the office of the ministry by Pastor Matt Harrison, president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, just yesterday. We're reviewing it today here on Issues, Etc.
Hey, preacher man, give me the gospel. Give me the good news of God's only son. Hey, preacher man, give me the gospel, give me his body, give me his blood.
A mighty fortress is our God.
In 1521, at the Diet of Worms, Martin Luther was asked to recant his writings. Luther responded, "Unless I am convinced from the sacred scriptures that I am in error, I cannot and will not recant. Here I stand. I cannot do otherwise. God help me. Amen." Will you stand with us as we proclaim these Reformation truths in the 21st century? You can take your stand by becoming a monthly or annual contributor to Issues, Etc. To find out how you can become an Issues, Etc. confessor, apologist, reformer, or patron, check out the donate page of our website, issuesetc.org. Just look for the picture of Martin Luther posting the 95 Theses. Help us proclaim the solas of the Reformation, Scripture, faith, grace, and Christ alone. Here we stand, Issues, Etc., and you.
It's not about you. It's about Jesus for you. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Here are two new ways that you can promote Issues, Etc. The Issues, Etc. business card and the Issues, Etc. bulletin board flyer. Simply go to the support page at issuesetc.org, click Issues, Etc. business cards, print the page on suitable stock paper, and cut along the lines. We also have an 8.5 by 11-inch flyer for the bulletin board at your church. issuesetc.org, go to the support page, click Issues, Etc. bulletin board flyer, and print.
Are you looking for a Christ-centered, cross-focused church? Check out the Find a Church page at our website, issuesetc.org. Are you tired of worship that's more about self-help than the Savior, the Christian rather than the Christ, and Christ in you instead of Christ for you? It's not about you. It's about Jesus for you. Find a church near you, issuesetc.org, and click Find a Church. Our Issues, Etc. book of the month for August is all about when you walk into church. If you still go to a church that is sensible enough to have retained these things, you're going to see all sorts of symbols, pictures, images all around you that are intended to preach the gospel, help proclaim the message of the gospel, and teach the faithful. And our Issues Etc. Book of the Month are all about those images, explaining them in a very simple way that anyone can understand. The book is called Behold the Lamb, An Introduction to the Signs and Symbols of the Church. It's written by Deaconess Pam Nielsen, a regular guest here on the program. In fact, tomorrow on the program, we will be talking with her about this book, Behold the Lamb. You can find out about this book at our website, issuesetc.org, or call Concordia Publishing House and order Behold the Lamb, An Introduction to the Signs and Symbols of the Church, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. Now back to our sermon preached yesterday by Pastor Matt Harris, president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, on the parable of the unjust steward, on the occasion of Will Wheaton, Pastor Will Wheaton's 25th anniversary in the ministry. He's just laid the law down for us about how we ought to be praising and giving thanks, but we cry and whine.
The ancient Israelites grumbled and were destroyed, the text says. To whom shall we turn, we grumblers? Jesus. Jesus, I praise thee, Father, you have hid this from the wise and revealed it to the babes. Jesus, who prays and give thanks for us, keeps the law perfectly for you. You're sluggish when you read the Word of God. If you're in church, your mind wanders. You fail to pay attention. Not a single one of us can pray a perfect Lord's Prayer, Luther said. Those who are of God hear God's words. Those who are not of God do not hear God. Therefore, you are not of God. That's what Jesus said. Who will help us? Jesus. Only Jesus. He prays the Psalms from the cross for you. You chafe under authority. You dishonor your parents. And even when you do what your parents tell you, you do it for another reason, to get some reward, not for the joy of it. But Jesus was obedient to his parents. And more than that, Jesus was obedient even unto death, an unjust death for you, Jesus. You may not have murdered, but you've hated your brother, which Jesus says is every bit as evil as murder. To whom shall we go? Jesus, who says, forgive them, Lord. They know not what they do. Forgive. Jesus has forgiven you all your sins. Cannot you forgive your neighbor? Can't you? Jesus. If our Sixth Commandment sins were evident to all in this place, we'd all cover our head for shame and be too embarrassed to come here again. The Bible says, no one is righteous, no, not one. But Jesus lived a perfect and chaste life for you, and he died the darkest and deepest death for your worst offenses. Jesus, you've stolen, and when you haven't stolen, you've wanted to. Luther says that the sins of youth are sexual and the sins of the elderly are greed. And I'm learning there's a tipping point right in life, too, where you're plagued by both of them. You've been put on earth to serve your family and those around you, but you act like you are the cause of all that you have and not God himself. Jesus was generous for you. Like the case of Zacchaeus, he says to you, come down. Come, I'm coming to your house today. You're forgiven. Jesus, you lie and slander about your neighbor. You fail to put the best construction on everything. The book of Revelation says, liars and slanderers shall suffer the lake of eternal fire. Jesus said from the cross, Lord, forgive them. They know not what they do. And he did it for you. He died for your wretched lips. Jesus, you are discontent, and you want this, and you want that, and you think you won't be happy without it. You covet. David coveted, and it brought him down. You've got the same wretched, sinful flesh in you. If it brought down a prophet, what'll it do to you? Jeremiah said, the heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. Jesus says, foxes have holes and birds nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. He has nothing. He desires nothing but you. Jesus, for you. In this wretched wilderness beset by our own sins, Jesus gives us an extraordinary gift. He gives us a pastor, a shepherd. He doesn't leave us like a dumbfounded cow staring at a new barn door when life's travails and troubles come to us. He gives us a pastor. Quite a few years ago, I was living in Australia, and we visited a sheep operation on the Graham and Gwen Cock sheep ranch. Thousands of sheep. One day we rode on the truck, the back of the truck, into the paddock, as the Aussies say. And there in the distance, the mob of sheep, thousands of them. We drove through the gate. They started to get skittish and flee because they knew this. There were people talking in the vehicle that they didn't recognize. But then all of a sudden, Graham Cock, just about this loud, he began to say this, "Hey, Bob. Hey, Bob." And within 30 seconds, the entire flock of sheep, mind you, thousands of animals, were pressing in on the vehicle we stood in. I felt as though I could have walked across their backs on a sea in every direction. Why did they do that? My sheep hear my voice. And Jesus promises, he promises this to your pastor. He who hears you hears me. Not when Pastor Whedon gasses off on his own opinions out of this pulpit about something, or his walking down the street and has this or that to say, but when he shares with you the blessed words of Christ, when he consoles you in the hospital, when he brings Christ's word to you from this pulpit, Jesus gives you a pastor. Jesus. You're a sinner. Be a sinner. You must be sinners, all of you. Jesus comes for sinners. I came not for the righteous, but for the unrighteous. Luther once counseled a friend who thought he had transgressed God's law so terribly there could be no mercy for him. Luther said, "Now you know what it is to be a hard-boiled sinner like the rest of us. Welcome to the club." Jesus comes only for sinners, he said. In fact, Christ dwells only in sinners, Luther tells his dear friend. Your pastor is yoked. He wears a stole. When he baptized you, it was Jesus baptizing you. In baptism, you put on Christ. It's all about Jesus, not having a righteousness of your own that comes from the law. Your pastor is yoked to drag you back to that font. Every week when you confess your sins here, he's yoked to speak the Lord's words. In the stead and by the command of Christ, you're forgiven and you're splashed again, just like that baptism is brand new. Your pastor is yoked when he stands in this pulpit and he delivers the effective and mighty word of God to you, just as though Jesus himself were saying it. And I say to you this day, in the name of Jesus Christ, your sins are forgiven, completely, totally forgiven. Your pastor is yoked to stand at this altar to deliver to you the body and blood of Jesus for what? The forgiveness of your sins. And my dear friends, you must know that the things your pastor is yoked to give you are the most precious treasures you could possibly have in this life. To live a life of forgiveness, of love, of mercy, a meaningful life of service in your wonderful vocations of father and mother and brother and sister and worker and everything else you do. It's a great way to live. And your pastor is yoked to give it all to you, to give you Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for 25 years of Pastor Whedon. And thank you for 25 years of Jesus. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
You know, we hear from the people who, well, at least they have appointed themselves as authorities on what the church ought to be saying, how the church ought to be preaching, what the message ought to be for the church. They tell us that we live in a post-Christian age. They're right. But that means that our message of Christ and Him crucified should be clearer than ever, doesn't it? That the note that we sound should be more distinct than ever before. Not less distinct, not less clear, not more in concert with all the other voices of the culture, but that the church's voice, the only voice that there is to proclaim Christ and Him crucified, ought to sound out loud and clear every Sunday, every sermon. I think that's a good example of it. Folks, if you're a member of Thrivent Financial for Lutherans, here's a way that you can support the worldwide outreach of issues, etc. It's called Thrivent Choice. This is a way that you can have your Thrivent dollars help support issues, etc. by designating them for Lutheran Public Radio. Lutheran Public Radio produces issues, etc. Go to our website, issuesetc.org. Click support. Right there in the middle of the page, you'll find the Thrivent Financial for Lutherans logo. Click on that and designate Lutheran Public Radio to receive some of your Thrivent dollars and thereby support issues, etc. We thank you in advance. I'm Todd Wilkin. Talk with you again tomorrow. Thanks for listening to Issues, Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues, Etc. Issues, Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address: Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues, Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.